got my eye on him. And then I saw you in a vision, and this bright light was shining right smack. It's like a focus beam shining right down on your head. And he said, I'm calling you forth. You're mine. So make yourself ready. Amen. Ramey? I heard this for two or three other people as well. God says, get ready for an extraordinary life. Amen. Hallelujah. He said the same thing for Donna. He said, get ready for an extraordinary life. Amen. That's good. Amen. And for Gary and Susie, he says, I haven't called you here to sit in these chairs, even though you're being obedient by sitting in these chairs right now. But I have a place for you. So be listening. Check in with your covering whenever you hear something. And know that God has a plan. Amen. Hallelujah. God's faithful. Amen. I think we could keep going. Clelia, until further notice, until God gives you different orders, this is your home. Okay. Hallelujah. I could keep going. God has a word. This afternoon I called Suzanne because this morning Daniel mentioned something about Catherine. Some of you are so new you don't know about Catherine, and I'm not going to tell the whole story, but she was injured in a severe wreck, as Daniel mentioned this morning, and was expected not to live. And in fact, they told them at the hospital she was already dead, and they said, we're already at, had the helicopter order, we're going to fly her to the city anyway. And they did, and they revived her on the way, and she's alive today. I gave her a word. And I called Suzanne. I said, do you remember when that word was? And what I said was that I saw her walking across a field with a boy and a girl, obviously her children. The girl was older. The boy was younger. And now she has two small children, Lauren, who is older, and of the last few months ago, Wally, who is the younger. I also saw her in a separate vision with a husband, and she was standing in a cap and gown. The first vision, Suzanne figured, was before she got out of high school, which was 1988. So it had to be sometime in the mid-1980s when that word came. And so Wally was born in 2010, so it took 22 years for God's word to come to pass. But the important thing is it did come to pass. She does have a husband. And when I saw her in a cap and a gown, she was already out of high school. And they said there's no need in her going to college because her brain is just not working right. Well, with the help of her mother and a lot of prayer, she got through college and graduated. And the day came, she stood there in that cap and gown. He is faithful. And you may not like the length of time that it takes, and you may not like the way he does it, but whatever he speaks will come to pass. And I was meditating on Catherine, and I thought, all those years, 22 years, look how many days that we have to doubt. 22 times 365, that's how many opportunities we have to spend a whole day in doubt of God's word. And yet, it happened. It came to pass. And I told Sandy, almost every leadership, somebody comes up to me and they says, you know, you gave me a word to me in a meeting we had in Okmulgee back in blah, blah, blah. And they said, it just now happened. So he called me the slow prophet. I don't know what. Anyway, the point is not me. The point is not the word. The point is he is faithful. And he has the power to keep every word that he has ever spoken or will speak. He has the power to make it happen. Amen. That has nothing to do with the message, except that it's about God. Amen? All right. I haven't done this in a while, so, but I'm not making any excuses. I'm kind of like Daniel. I've been doing this long enough. I don't get nervous anymore. If you guys don't like it, there's the door. I mean, if you stumble over me, if you start calling ahead on Sunday to see who's speaking and it's me and you stay home, it won't bother me. Anyway, God's faithful. Hallelujah. The most precious thing that God possessed or still possesses is His Son, Jesus Christ. And He sent Him to die for our sins so that we might become a precious thing in His eyes. The redeemed ones, covered with the blood of Jesus. He doesn't see us or our sins. He sees through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then as soon as Jesus got back, He sent another great thing in His life, is the Holy Spirit. All three of them haven't been together much in the last few thousand years. We have in the Word that Jesus did not argue with the Father about coming to do what He said, but we don't have any word whether the Holy Spirit did or not, but I'm sure He gladly fulfilled what the Father wanted. And that was the building up of the church. Amen. And so now, with the help of the Holy Spirit, He's entrusted to us, the redeemed, His next most precious thing, and that is His kingdom. He has put it absolutely in our hands. Besides terrifying us and making us stay on our faces, we ought to be overjoyed and just really taken aback that He would do that, that He would entrust such a precious thing to us. Now, if you can find it in your Bible, turn to Esther. Esther 4. It's Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms. If that gives you an idea. Okay. Not quite in the middle, a little to the left side of your Bible. If you read your Psalms all the time, you ought to be able to find it real quickly. And I'll do a commercial while you're finding it. If you have not read this book, or it's been a long time since you read it, you need to read this book. This is a tremendous book, how God took simple people who would believe and obey Him and have the guts to do what He says and then see a people set free. And even after all these thousands of years, the Hebrews, the Jews celebrate the Feast of Purim or Purim, however you want to say it, how you say it. All right. Which reenacts this liberation of the Jewish people from their enemies. King Ahasuerus of Persia ruled over the Jews. They had been taken captive. And we all know of the evil Haman, who had plotted, he had tricked the king into making a decree that all the Jews would be killed. That's basically what it boiled down to. Mordecai found out about it. And of course, in all this, God had gotten Esther into the king's court and was on the way to making her the queen. And she became the queen. But Esther 4, verse 14 says, Mordecai is speaking to Esther, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. All who knows whether you have not attained, and who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this." Then Esther told him to reply to Mordecai, "Go assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, day, night or day. I and my maidens also will fast in the same way, and thus I will go to the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went away and did just as Esther commanded him. She stepped up to the task, and they all went through the fasting and the praying because they did not want God to have to wait for another time and another way of bringing deliverance. Amen? That's what it was all about. They were willing to make the sacrifice. She was willing to risk her life by going into the king. They fasted and they prayed because they did not want God to have to find another time and another way to get the job done. God wanted his people delivered. And now we have God who wants his kingdom to come forth in great power. And we are the generation who are now alive. Whether you're 5, 55, or 95, doesn't make any difference. We're alive now. We're a part of the kingdom now. And God has put his kingdom out here and put it in our hands and asked us, what are we going to do with it? Well, we as this generation are going to stand up and say, God, we do not want you to have to find another people and another time to bring your kingdom forth. Will you say that in your heart? Yeah? That's what we want. That's it in a nutshell. That's what we're all about right now. Whether we're witnessing to people with every opportunity, as Daniel was saying this morning, or whether we're believing for our gifts to come forth, whatever we're doing, we're all about that. And that is, we want the kingdom to come forth now. Would you pray the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And his will is, his kingdom comes forth now. Now, this is the day of the kingdom. This is the day of the kingdom, and this is the day of the moving of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's been here for 2,000 years, but now there are a people who will answer the call about the kingdom. You know, time is really on the devil's side because he hopes that we just come every Sunday and sit in our pew. And then we get married and have kids and we still sit in the pew. And then we get to be grandparents and we still sit in the pew. And next thing, we're too old to sit in the pew. We're sitting in our wheelchair in the aisle. But pretty soon they cart us out and have our service and we're gone and we still haven't built the kingdom. So time's on his side. He's saying, boy, these guys are revved up, but I'm going to work a work in there with them and going to introduce some strife and some religious spirits and see if I can put them all to sleep. And they'll go to sleep like all the other generations, and we'll just keep on going on, and I'll avoid the lake of fire. That's what, you know, it's a struggle. It's a battle. It's a war that goes on every day. But we read the book, and we know we win. But God wants us to be the generation who will stand up right where we are and say, we're the kingdom people for now. And we will pay, you're going to say amen this part too then. We will pay whatever the price is that it takes to get your kingdom to come into its power. Amen. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord are moving to and fro over the whole earth to find those through whom he might show himself mighty. It's been thousands of years since that verse in Chronicles was written, but it's still true. His eyes are still going to and fro over the earth, looking for those whose heart is truly his. Hallelujah. I hope he finds it in us. I hope he finds it in our generation, in our time. Amen. It also says, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, every one of these scriptures that we're going to use, we've heard time and time again. He is, Bob, you know it. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Well, I want to diligently seek him more than I ever have before. I'm not going to be condemned. I just turned 64 this last week, and there have been a lot of years go by, but it's not too late. Thank you, Nathan. There goes your Christmas present. All right. He already lost. I think he lost it in the car with Sandy. Anyway, it's not too late. We're not too old. As long as there's breath in our bodies, we can say, I will arise. Even if somebody has to help me stand up, I'm going to arise, and I'm going to diligently seek him. Now, we have to talk about what that diligently seeking him entails. Sometimes when I get carried away, I'm gripping this microphone so tight, I get cramps in my hand. I don't know what, maybe not everybody does that, but I'll try to loosen it up a little bit. In John 14:26, we know that. He says, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. He's a helper. Help what? He's our helper, but he's going to help us do what? Find a better chair in the auditorium? Keep us out of the devil's crosshairs so I don't face any difficulties? I mean, he's helping us become the people and the church who will usher in the kingdom. Right over, that was in John 14 and verse 16, just a few verses later, it says, I'm sending you the Spirit of truth. And he's going to lead you into all the truth. What truth? The truth is, now it's time for the people of God to diligently seek him and become the church in the kingdom that he wants us to be. That's the truth. But he wants us also to understand everything in this book. If we understand everything in this book, we understand God. How much easier it is to serve one that we understand and one that we know personally. Hallelujah. Let's look for him. Are we satisfied? Have we been satisfied with the amount of truth that we have? If we're willing to come and sit every Sunday and let every Sunday be the same, you probably already have a pretty boring Christian life. Even if you're being good and being righteous and read the Word and say, I'm seeking God, and one of these days I'm going to serve Him, those are all good things. But have we become satisfied with the amount of truth that we have? Or are we going to say, I am going to diligently seek him, and I'm going to seek all the truth that I can uncover reading this book with the Holy Spirit leading me? Tremendous book. Tremendous book. In all these pages, all these words written over thousands of years, and there's not one contradiction in the whole thing. There's not one thing that either has not or will not come to pass. Who can do that but God? Amen? Well, even if we're satisfied with the amount of truth that we have, God is not. But you knew I was going to say that, though. He's not satisfied. And I have a feeling in our hearts we're not either. We're just that close to jumping up and saying, I declare, I will diligently seek him. Holy Spirit, help me understand exactly what diligently means. Amen. Hallelujah. Because the more truth we have, the more anointing comes. And from the anointing comes more power. And when we have a church filled with power, we don't have to worry about going out there and explaining ourselves. People will be like they were in Bangladesh, from the report Kathy told about this morning, they'll come find you. If you have enough truth and you have enough anointing and there's enough of the power of God flowing in us, they will find us. Even if they're not supposed to, like those Buddhists in Bangladesh. They're not supposed to go be looking for Christians or healing. No, they're supposed to be sitting around with their legs folded, memorizing the sayings of Buddha. Which does what? Nothing. Nothing. But they're drawn. They're not, they're drawn by the power of God. And the story, she doesn't, they don't have to take out ads in the paper. The news, the good news of the gospel goes out across the land, spreads like wildfire because of the power of God that's there. Amen. And he also says in the word that we are the overcomers. Well, we've had that preached before. If you're going to be an overcomer, you have to overcome something. You have to overcome humanity. That's a good broad statement. We have to overcome being human, being selfish, being lazy, being concerned about our little world and our little selves and our comfort and our retirement and our benefits and blah, blah, blah. And then we overcome the devil and the kingdom of darkness with the kingdom of light. Amen. We're also called the triumphant ones. Another way of saying, we win. We win. We don't have to wait till Revelation 22 to win. We win now. We have the opportunity to win now, fully and completely. And the word also says, we can hasten the day of his coming. Is that an awesome thing? That's an awesome thing to think. We little us, could hasten the day of his coming just simply by diligently seeking him and allowing the Holy Spirit to change us into people we don't recognize when we look in the mirror anymore. We've changed. People around you, they say, something different about you, Sue. Something different about you. No, we experience that. It's God. That's what it is. It's God. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Well, we do have those enemies who will come at us and try to stop every bit of progress we make, throw things in our way. But this is our declaration, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And I've started speaking to demon powers and say, you're the weapon. You demon powers, you're the weapon the devil is sending against me. But the word says you won't prosper. So therefore, we negate your schemes, the things you were sent to do. Your mission fails. Now go back. We go on. We're not afraid. We don't stop because of difficulty. If we diligently seek him, we will not worry about what is thrown at us. We'll rebuke it and we'll go on. Amen. Now turn to Matthew 17. Look at verse 14. And when they came to the multitude, a man came up to him, falling on his knees before him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and is very ill, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, If you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, Jesus talked to the disciples because of the littleness of their faith. But see, this was before the Holy Spirit came. They had Jesus. Later, they had the Holy Spirit. And we saw the difference after in the book of Acts, how when the Holy Spirit came, these same seemingly dim-witted disciples came alive with the power of the Spirit and turned into different individuals. But the point I want to make here is that Jesus said that one little verse that's an aside there that may not have been an original translation. I don't know all this stuff about theology, but it says, but this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. All right, Jesus stayed in an attitude. He lived a life, the fasted life, and he stayed in constant communication with the Father, and he would go off, and he and the Father would commune, and God would show him things, and he probably knew ahead of time everyone he was going to confront that he was going to heal. Probably saw that in the Spirit and knew exactly what to do, because there are some instances where it said he went into a village and healed everyone, and there are some places he would heal only certain ones, but whatever it was what the Father showed him to do, because he was obedient. He did exactly what the Father said. He wasn't moved by his emotions. But you see, in this case, this man came and Jesus was there, and what the disciples could not do, Jesus did. Well, in case you haven't looked around, Jesus isn't here anymore. But the Holy Spirit is, and we don't have Jesus to fall back on. It's in our laps. Welcome to the real world of the kingdom. It's in our laps now. We have the Holy Spirit. We're responsible. And if it says these come out only by prayer and fasting, Jesus didn't just mean for himself. Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm talking about. It may mean that we have to live that fasted life and engage in prayer and fasting to see things change. So that's when I say, diligently seek him, that may be what it takes. Prayer and fasting, focused on nothing else but finding him and what he wants. All of us, everyone in here, has a gift or a calling. And some of us are waiting. Well, when God says, I'm going to start praying for people or whatever, he's waiting on you to diligently seek him with fasting and prayer, whatever it takes. There are people right now who are sick who need to have hands laid on them and be made well no matter what and how terrible the disease is, because someone has diligently sought God. And I told Kathy, I'd like to know more about that little lady from India that's operating in Bangladesh, because I bet she's just an ordinary person. But she may be ordinary in one way, but in another way she's not, because she has sought God. She sought God. She found out somehow that God wanted to operate through her in the gift of healing. And so she prayed and she fasted and she did whatever she had to do. She diligently sought God and worked that gift until it came forth. And now what seems so easy to move among people and see great healings started out as one who was diligently seeking him and his anointing and his power. She wasn't doing it to be great. We didn't even find out her name. Probably can't say it. But the thing is, she is obedient to the calling that she had, to the gift that she had, And I know, even without knowing her, that she diligently sought God and said, Lord, I'm going to fast, I'm going to pray, I'm going to wait on you, I'm going to read your word, and I'm going to exercise this gift until this gift is made manifest to your glory. Amen. Simple prayer, a lot of hard work. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Sometimes we like to hear this, sometimes we don't. My grace is sufficient. So if you're diligently seeking Him and you're wanting whatever He's calling you to do, whatever gift it needs to operate in you, you just say, your grace is sufficient. I'm going to go to work on this. Amen? Hallelujah. I thought it was great timing for that story this morning. Yeah, I'm not bragging on myself. In fact, it's really not anything to brag about. But I'm going to talk about what God's doing in my life right now. There is a need in our family, and I've sought God for the answer. But also, in the same time frame, God's been speaking to me that I know I and a group of other people are called, and there are many thousands across the kingdom, but who are called to raise finances for the kingdom. That's just as certain a calling as an apostle or a prophet or a pastor or anything else. There are people, thousands and thousands of them, who are called to believe in and hand over finances into the kingdom of God. We've got to have it. That's how the world operates, through money. And we want to see, we believe for a long time, the word, it says, the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. Well, that money has to be transferred. The wicked are not going to walk up and willingly hand it to you, because they've been hoarding it, using it for selfish things, and hiding it away for future generations for a long time. It's gotten old and a lot of moths in there, but they're hanging on to it. God said there's coming a time when those that I have called forth as sowers and reapers, who will stand and believe and see that money transferred. And there are those people whom they'll be driving down the road, and God will say, stop and buy that building right there. Stop, buy that piece of land over there. And then He has a purpose for it, or He wants you to make profit on it. Almost any church, you can find somebody that's got this, I don't know, it's a drive. It's like you've got to do it. But they just have not stepped up and said, this is what I am to do. And whatever it takes, I have got to see this come forth. You get on TBN, you dial any toll-free number, you check any email address, you just get online and you just ask them if they need money. If it were legal to bet, I'd almost bet you will not find one who will say, no, I've got enough. Everyone, every part of the kingdom needs finances. So I said, besides this one issue that I've got to pray on, I want to see, it's time. Every Sunday we give to Bangladesh. Every month, hadn't been very long, but we give to the Zarets, and we're able to do it. And we do it out of obedience and out of faith. But that's not enough. And when we're talking about giving tens, fifties, and hundreds, God's talking about us giving millions, multiple millions, and billions. So it's time. It's time for me. I know it is in me. It's time for me to see this happen. I don't want to live a long life and then leave the church some money in my will. I want to be a sower and a reaper now. I already am a sower and a reaper, but I want to be a sower and a reaper with a capital S and a capital R. You get the picture, right, Jim? Yeah. That's what we want to do. These are kingdom days, kingdom times. But these are also days of separation, sacrifice, and obedience. You got to do what he says when he says it. And he's going to test you. He's going to test your mettle. He's going to see what you're made of. He's going to see if you back up your words. The words you prayed on your knees last night, he's going to see if you mean them today. He may sit down. He may say, sit down and write a check for everything you got. He may not. All I know is I want to do what he says. I want to diligently seek him so I can see this sowing and reaping come forth. And see us no more have to struggle for finances. God gave me a vision years and years ago, standing right over there by where that flag is now. And I was standing on top of a stone, kind of like part of a castle, but it was just like a stone tower. And up on top of this tower, there was a cannon. And there were people inside the tower who were praying. That was the sowers and the reapers. They were praying inside there. And then all of a sudden somebody would come up and open the door at the top and they'd bring out a big pile of money and they would stuff that money into that cannon. They'd go, boom, and shoot that money out. And then they'd just keep doing that every little bit. Only they'd turn the cannon a different way. Here would come the money, pack the money in there, boom. I loved it. It's great. I want to be one of those people who sends up that money. I'd like to once fire the cannon, but maybe we get to take turns there. But whatever it is, if you are called to lay hands on people and see them healed, then that should just be right in your face all the time, the faces of those people. You can just see in your spirit that are laying on their deathbed and all of a sudden they just rise up and begin shouting praises to God. I mean, whatever you can envision in your spirit ought to be driving us on the inside. And we ought to just say tonight before we go to bed, God, I've waited long enough. I've waited long enough. Now, we have to yield to God's timing on everything. We know that. But I really feel like in the realm of the kingdom, in the realm of these gifts and these callings, God's urging us right now. He's urging us. The time for the kingdom is now. The days of the Holy Spirit are now. And we've got to see these gifts come forth now. Because I want to change the world through my people. Amen. I asked God, because I said, I want to do whatever it takes. I want to fast. I want to enter into the fasted life. And I know that we can get all our zeal and get ourselves all worked up and we can say, boy, tomorrow I'm going to start fasting 40 days. Woo! And then by day two, you've already crumbled. I know. I've been doing this long enough to know that you have to prepare your body for a fast. So between now and the end of the year, I'm doing that preparation. I've already cut back on some things. I'm trying to listen to what God says, what he tells me to eat and what he tells me to leave off. And I've already started leaving off some things. And I'm getting myself ready. So when the day comes, when he says start the fast now, my body's going to be ready. It's going to be quiet. And I'm going to be able to do the things, to accomplish the things that I want to do through God. Amen. So I ask God, I said, if this is true, if this is just my soul and my zeal, just anywhere out of your word, give me a verse about money. I no more got the word money out of my mouth, and wham, there it was. So I ran and grabbed my Bible. There it was. It's a story about where Jesus sent Peter to fish, and when you catch the fish, open its mouth, there's a coin in there. That was it. I mean, it was less than a second. God knows the word. And I guess he knew what I was going to say, because, boy, he had it ready. And as soon as I got the word money, the time I said it was already in my spirit. And I turned there and I saw it. And I said, okay, you mean business. You mean business. And then I asked for a confirmation about the fasting and all that. And so he gave me a verse out of a page in Reese Howe's book. Of course, we know Reese Howe was an intercessor. That was his calling. The path of intercession that Mr. Howe was following now took on a new definiteness and began to go steeply upwards. And then down a few more sentences. It was evident that the Lord had been preparing his servant to gain a much higher position than he had realized. So when I read those, remember in the old days, talking about glory and climb? That's where we are. We're glory and climb. And sometimes, you know, we have to admit the glory is a lot more fun than the climb. But we're there. We're there. This is the time. And what are you going to do with it? That's the question he asked. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to offer yourself as a living sacrifice and say, I will diligently seek him and I will obey whatever he says to me? You can, even tonight, if you don't have the courage to pray that, you can start praying for grace. That God, grace me that whatever, when I say that vow to you, that I can do whatever you say. I can obey whatever it is. Let the power of the Holy Spirit be upon me, that I might be able to fulfill every obedience that the Lord gives me. And every obedience leads to more anointing, and more anointing leads to more power. And the power leads to the fulfillment of all the things that God has asked us to do, whether it's your calling or your gifting. Don't let the devil intimidate you. Don't let him lie to you. Don't let him say, you can't do this. Don't let him say, I don't think I have a gift. If you don't think you have a gift or a calling, you need to pray harder than the rest of us. Because first of all, you have to find out what it is. But I can guarantee you, what they say, carte blanche. I can guarantee in this church, carte blanche, that God has a gift or a calling for everyone in here, and sometimes many multiples of gifts and callings. He has them prepared. And you just ask, just like I asked him for that confirmation on that verse, and he had it into my spirit in less than a second. He's the fastest God in the West. He's ready with a verse for every occasion. Sometimes it astounds me that the verses he comes up with when you ask him something. I thought, I had no idea that was in there. But it exactly fits the situation. Heard Sam say that many times. God gave a word that exactly fit the situation, and there was no doubt about what he meant. Amen. This is God. I'm not saying it. If you don't get on your knees and offer to live the fasted life tonight, that there's something wrong with you, that you're missing. All I'm saying is diligently seek him. Be spiritually and intellectually honest with yourself. That I am diligently seeking him. And then hang on. You may be like Catherine, might be 22 years before everything comes to pass that God speaks to you, but I don't think so, because we're in a time when time is picking up speed. It is. They can tell me all they want to that time's exactly like it always has been, but it's not. It's speeding up. It is speeding up. It has to do with the universe and everything else that God does to deal with time, because time is an invention and a tool of God for the earth. He doesn't operate in that realm. at all. Everything, heaven and all that are outside that whole realm of time. Time just for us to mark off things, but it is speeding up. So all the more necessary that we yield unto Him right now. Right now, young or old, you just say, God, you know, I'm going to have to chew on this a while. But the longer you chew on this, the better it's going to taste, I guarantee you, because it starts doing something in your spirit. And you say, you know, yeah, when I look, my life is pretty boring. But I guarantee you, when we start walking with God and we have diligently sought Him and we're living that life that's totally in sync with Him, we'll get up excited every morning, not knowing what God's going to do that day. By the time you pray, you might know what He's going to do that day. But it's all exciting. It's not boring. We're not waiting around to die. We're waiting to see the kingdom come forth. What a great day to be alive. And we are alive. Let's seek Him. Amen. Let's seek Him. So, right now, just bow your heads. And you pray whatever you want to pray. But I'm telling you, the more access that you allow Him in your life, the happier and more blessed and more fulfilled you'll be if you surrender everything right now and said, Father, I'm starting on a new journey with You. And I want this to be a great journey. And I want to be a part of Your kingdom. I want my gifts to bless Your kingdom and exalt Jesus Christ. So I want my gifts to be fully developed. And I'm going to fast, I'm going to pray, I'm going to seek You, I'm going to do whatever it takes to see my gift come to maturity. And then I will know, be led by the Holy Spirit, I will know all the truth about my gift. And I will see Jesus glorified. People drawn. They'll come and push in the doors of our church trying to get in here to experience the power of God. And we don't have to wait till we're in the building. We can take the power of God right out there in the streets. Right out there where they are in the midst of all their depravity and their sin and their sickness and disease and poverty and shame and all the things that they're wallowing in. The devil just laughing at them. So these are the sons of God. Well, just look at that drunk over there in the ditch. Doesn't even know his name. He's no son of God. If we go out there in the fullness of power, there's a possibility that drunk may be preaching the word before you turn around. Hallelujah. Father, You are offering us a great gift. You're offering us an exciting life. You're offering us Your kingdom. And we say, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We offer our lives to You as Jesus offered His life to You as a sacrifice for our sins. We offer our lives as a sacrifice for Your kingdom to see multiple millions of people blessed because they now know Jesus as their own Savior. Father, we thank You, and we ask You, Father, send the Holy Spirit, and don't let Him let us off the hook. May He stay after us if we have prayed that prayer that we want to diligently seek You. We thank You for the blessing and the privilege and the honor of having Your kingdom in our hands. Father, we want to offer it up to You as a wonderful, a living, and a glorious thing to to the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. What'll we do with it? Amen. All right. Everybody have a good week. Be blessed. Be back here next Sunday morning.